¡Hola!
¡Hi!
¡Bienvenidas a Super Mamás!
¡Super Mamás!
This is Paulina.
And this is Priscia. We're moms and sisters.
I have two beautiful little girls, Krista and Sabina.
And I have one handsome little boy, Eduardo Santiago Maitorena. And we welcome you into the Super Mama sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Krista, and he was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. Ah! I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
Got me right there. She was like, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom. Mm-hmm. He knew what kind of mom he wanted and he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's right. We are here to help one another, inspire one another, and support each other through the ups and downs of this crazy journey called motherhood.
I hope you guys enjoy the show.
Okay, Lisa.
Here we go. Hi, Super Mamas. This week in the podcast, we have Rachel Matos, social media director of We All Grow Latina and lifestyle blogger at The Art Muse. She is going to share with us some tips and tricks on how to bond with your teenage child. This was actually a really, really funny, insightful, and great show. Prepare to laugh a lot, quite a bit. And also in the intro, you're going to hear from the little future super mama, ASAP Tit, aka Elizabeth, aka Tita, my sister. And she's going to share some exciting news in her life. So stick around and I hope you guys enjoy the show. Hello. Hi, Super Mamas. We have a very special guest entering today. My sister is off at another Tony Robbins experience. She's becoming like a Tony Robbins like junkie.
Yeah.
I think we all have become Tony Robbins junkies.
Yeah. I've definitely been following. I really loved his Facebook Live today.
Right?
Yeah. It's very inspirational.
For anyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, you can go to facebook.com/Tony Robbins and watch a Facebook Live of the Business Mastery in Palm Beach, which is where my sister is. And it was like the first time they streamed one of his conferences.
Yeah. A very exclusive look into his mastery class, and it was super cool.
And if you guys don't recognize his voice,
it's the one and only ASAP. No, it's Elizabeth.
It's my little sister. Shout out to my non-moms out there. We wanted to connect with y'all, so we brought her in for the intro this week because I was like, we need to connect with those non-moms out there. And my sister and I actually went to the march this past weekend, and I want to shout out to everybody that was there. Women's March was incredible in LA.
Super great energy. I just loved how so many people were there and were just like so happy. Involved and happy and just like chanting and dance. I should have brought my speaker. I didn't know it was gonna be like that.
Was it the first, you know, you marched in the 1 million men march with immigrants, remember?
Yeah.
There's a picture of you. We should find that. I have that picture somewhere where it says, I am an immigrant, right?
Yeah.
I have glasses.
Yeah, I was like in middle school. Right? Oh, yeah, I was in middle school.
But how cool is it that like you have that experience?
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking when I saw all the moms with their kids. Exactly. There were so many moms with their kids, like strollers and babies and young kids. And I was like, how cool is this?
Yeah,
and it was like a so safe. Everybody was happy. It was such a festive energy.
Yeah. I mean, Ramiro brought Krista and Sabina to the march, too.
I saw that.
Yeah. I didn't even know he was going to go.
Shout out to her cuñado.
Yeah.
Great dad.
Great, great dad.
I know, right? Made me want to cry when I saw that picture.
I know. Me, too.
I was like, good man. Yeah,
that's a really good memory to have. Like, I was at the Women's March.
Yeah.
Like, that's like history.
For sure. Well, this week, we have Rachel Matos, and she's going to tell us about connecting with your teenage child. She has a son.
Oh, cool.
Which is why also I thought it was cool that you're here, because you're kind of like our daughter in a way.
Basically.
And we connect with each other.
Basically. I keep you guys young.
And before we move into her interview, two things I forgot to talk about in the show when we recorded. BTW, Paulina will be on the interview. Dita is just here for the intro. but one or two things you forgot we taped before she left was, one, you all have to watch Cristela Alonso's new Netflix special. It's called Lower Classy.
Ooh.
First time Latina has like a stand-up show on Netflix.
Hell yeah.
And I want her to do super well. So I want all of you guys to please show support. Check out her Netflix special on Netflix.
5-star rating.
For sure. Please, please, please.
You need it.
And if you guys don't follow her, just follow her at Cristela Alonso. And number two, my sister and I, not this sister, not this Tita, but my sister, Paulina, we are going to be hosting a Facebook Live this coming Thursday. We're going to do it at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're doing it at 1 p.m. to just kind of switch it up. Usually we do it in like nighttime, but we're like, nice, let's try 1 p.m. and see how it works. Where we are going to finally share our vision boards, because we couldn't, I mean, when we had a vision board party, it was just like we were hosting, so we couldn't actually do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on.
And we have talked about our Tony Robbins vision board. So we're going to talk about the Tony Robbins board that we did, A Date with Destiny, and our vision board for the year. So we're going to share it with everybody. Tune in to our Facebook Live this Thursday, January 26th at 1 p.m.
Ooh,
I know. But Tita should have some new visions. Something exciting just happened in your life. Would you like to share with our super mamas?
Yeah. I took a leap of faith, I guess, and I quit my job.
Yay! I should insert claps right now. Not that everyone should go out and quit their job, but
yeah.
You were just not happy where you were.
I really wasn't liking where I was, and I was getting really comfortable where I was, and I really needed a talk with Bricia, I guess. She just called me up out of nowhere, and she was just like, "When are you quitting your job?" And I was like, "That's a really great question, actually, because I don't know." And it's something that I've been like thinking about for a really long time, been deciding, and I just came in the next day and I was like, I quit. But it was like nice. It was like a good transition out.
It wasn't like half baked, like, F you.
No,
F you,
no.
It wasn't, you're cool, I'm out.
No, it wasn't bad at all. I got a lot of support from my friends, got a lot of support from my roommate. Shout out to Mitzi. And just everyone's just been super supportive, and I'm really excited for the next chapter. And
if you guys
are curious, I'm going to join my family.
She's joining the Super Mama team / Kelly Gets That team / I Love Mobile team / I Love Micheladas team.
Yeah. I've been actually really been inspired for the last month, because I just know that like I just be a lot better here. And I think, honestly, the seed that made like me feel like, okay, yeah, was that like when we got back from Mexico on our way up with Fernando, he put on that podcast, How I Built This.
Oh, isn't that a great podcast?
It's literally the best podcast. Like,
I mean, aside from Super Mom's podcast.
Yeah, but like, we were listening.
But totally, I get it.
And it was Warby and Parker. And listening to his story, I was like, oh wow, like this is awesome. And then I subscribed, and I've been listening to Dry Bar, I've been listening to Zumba, Zappos today, and I was like, you know what, like we should do this.
Yeah,
like this could be us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay, Elizabeth.
Yay.
And actually, How I Built This was this week's Paulina's super mama pick. So,
oh really?
Yeah.
perfect.
So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm super excited.
I'm excited for you.
Like, wow.
There is no growth inside certainty.
Yeah. And I was definitely
hashtag Tony Robbins.
Oh wow. I was definitely super comfortable where I was, and I'm glad that like I got snapped out of it, because it was something that I really needed to grow. And shout out to anyone else that quit their jobs this new year. New year, new me.
hashtag growth. All right, guys. Anything else you want to say before we leave, because we have 30 seconds?
Nothing, just tune in and have a good time, and
follow your dreams. Enjoy the show and our interview with Rachel Matos of We All Grow Marketing Network.
we're back.
We're back.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. Are you nervous? You think we're going to question you? Yeah. Interrogation?
Like, here's a list of questions.
Like, who were the first five presidents of the United States?
Forget it. I got to go.
I don't even know that question, to be honest, that answer, to be honest with you. But isn't that what kind of you learn when you, like, your kid goes to, like, elementary, middle school, high school? Like, you go to school with him?
When my son was in the fifth grade, that's when I realized, like, I have a lot of studying to do.
Oh, my God.
You know that show, Are You Smarter Than... What is it? Are You Smarter Than
a Fifth Grader?
Yeah, it's so true. Because like, he was learning things, and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know how to help you. Forget it.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, when you start thinking about, like, precedents and science and, like... Your nervous system.
I'm like, did know that. Biology. Looking at me like, thanks.
Great help, Mom. Yeah.
Google. Here it is. Google. Google
so, becomes welcome, Rachel. Rachel is the social media director at Wheel Girl Latina Network and lifestyle blogger at The Art Muse. If you don't follow her yet, you're falling behind here.
Missing out.
You're missing out on beautiful content. You look hot in these pictures. No one would even think you have a 17-year-old kid. Is this him that you have a picture of him on your Instagram with the angel wings?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He is one handsome little boy.
He is.
Thank you.
How old is he? 17?
17.
Uh-oh. Ya hueles a suegra.
Do you hate that when people say, like, oh, you have a 17-year-old, son? Like, ooh, what about the girls? Ooh, ooh.
Oh, It's fine. It's just funny. People think I had him at a really young age, and I'm like, no, I had him at 27.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
Okay, we need to talk about your beauty routine.
Okay, rewind. I thought you were like a teenage mom.
No.
That's what we were talking about today.
I was like married and the whole thing.
That was the topic of today's discussion.
I'm sorry.
Teenage motherhood.
No, what? So that's the only thing, you know, that I always have to
Rachel,
say. Like, no,
what do you do for
he
your
was planned
skin
and everything?
Oh my gosh,
it's that Latina, you know, blood. I don't know. It's just not cracking yet. That's fine. I mean, I'm not hating on people saying it. It's just that I always have to answer, like, no, you know.
So it's not Jennifer Lopez is not the only one. See, there's others out there that look that young. Oh my
all right,
god!
All right, I have been using Retin-A since I was like 25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I how about to buy some right now on Amazon?
Wait, real quick. Let me write this down.
Real quick.
Wow. You look amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, you're not old or anything, but you look way younger.
Well, what's...
I mean, you have a 17-year-old kid.
No. You want to hear what's weird is that twice this has happened. A photographer was like, oh, how about if I shoot you and your partner? And I'm like, my partner? I'm like, that's my son. And then another time we were at a restaurant, and they were like, oh, this couple would like a reservation. My son was like, what couple? He's looking around like, us? Like, so I don't look 17, so they probably think that I'm just like, it's
a cougar?
I can't. Yeah, a cougar.
A saltacunas. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And he must be tall.
He's about... No, he's about 5'10".
Okay.
He's 5'4".
Yeah.
So he's tall.
He wanted to be like 6'5" by now. So we're like counting the inches, you know, every time. I'm like, have you grown? Yeah.
He's like, give me more milk. Yeah.
So it never stops. So you always count the inches. You just never stopped.
Well, yeah. Well, now since, you know, he's at this age where he's like, am I going to grow more? You know, we're checking it all the time. He wants to be really tall.
Does he have a thing in his bedroom where it's like the date?
It's in the pantry, like near our pantry.
Really?
Yeah, we do have it.
You know,
when
girls come over, you should show him. Like, honey, I think he's gonna measure you. Can you come over here real quick and
I don't know. He's at that age where everything embarrasses him. So yeah.
So he's at a high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Senior.
He's a junior.
Junior.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So you're looking at colleges already.
We're looking at colleges, but we decided. We, me, decided that he should do maybe PCC first.
My sister went there.
Yeah. Elizabeth. And then decide what he wants to do. I really just want him to have that kind of transitional, you know, when you know your kid, you know, and his pace, I just kind of felt like, why don't you graduate high school? Let's just get that out of the way. And then you can go to PCC and start working on what you want to study. Because, you know, there's too many kids now who are in college and then they're changing majors and they're not really sure what they want to do. I just don't think an 18 or a 19-year-old really knows yet what they want to do. So I want him to have that period where he can figure that out. He right. wants to do film work and he wants to do writing. And those are artistic careers. Uh-huh. So that's why I'm like, why don't you... Let's do the 2 years and you figure it out and
hard
see.
Hard to measure careers.
Yeah.
Huh? Hard to measure careers.
Yeah. So I just want him to take other classes and see if whatever, you know. And if he decides like film is really what I want to do, then we will work on whatever school he wants to go to. Because he wants to go to New York.
Right.
So.
You're like, don't leave me.
Like the guy for the Greek. Why you want to leave me? From a big fat grad week wedding. Oh my God. Know, today I spoke to someone and he told me something very... very like interesting. I was like, huh, something to think about. He said that when he was going to college, instead of going to college, he invested in all these like crazy like self-help seminars and mm-hmm. like self-improvement, like Tony Robbins and things mm-hmm. of that nature, and going to these immersing himself in these conventions and whatever they're called, seminars. And I'm like, I wish I would have done that 18.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. And I think things have changed so much. Like when I was in school, like in high school, it was like, you're going to a 4-year college. This is right. what you're doing. You need to know what you're going to do. People like would ask me, I was only like 19, like, you know,
you what do you want to do? What are you going to do? Life?
And I'm, you know, and I was in art school. I was studying commercial art, and things changed, even though I stayed in the art field for a really long time. But things within the art field changed, and I had to, you know, learn how to go with that as well. And I want him to have those skills. You know, I don't want to put that pressure on him and say, like, this is what you need to do. So I just want him to have that time.
Right. Because a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people know, but Rachel was an art curator
mm-hmm.
in her past life.
Life before the Metropolitan
Museum of Art. Not just any museum, not just any place, okay?
So you've always loved art.
And the Guggenheim.
The Guggenheim.
The Guggenheim.
Yeah, since I can remember, I was always drawing something, and that's just how I communicated. When my mom was a young mom, and I would go with her to college, and when she would sit and learn her stuff, I was drawing or copying uh-huh. what the professors were writing on the board. So that's where I learned how to write. I was like 3, 4, and I would sit and draw and make books. I would write her letters. Like, that's, you know, what I did, and it was something that just carried through the rest of my life. And in high school, I was always that nerd that did all the art stuff in the school, like the Christmas stuff and the shamrocks and like all those little corny things that you see all over the school. That was me. I used to do that. And then I ended up at School of Visual Arts, and that's where I studied art. And then I ended up in the museum education field. And then this was the 90s, like a million years ago. It was still a very new concept.
When chokers were
yeah, I was wearing chokers and flower dresses and brown lipstick.
And bell-bottom jeans.
So they're during that time, mm-hmm. yeah, Nirvana and Pearl Jam days, I went into the museum field. So. Oh.
And then how did you end up working at We All Grow?
Well, this was in New York, and I moved out here in 2004, and the museum field out here is very different because you can't just hop on a subway. And, you know, I was at like 3-4 museums at a time doing contractual work, like lecturing. And then I was in school at night, and I found that here you can't really do that because you're driving everywhere and it was like 2 hours on the freeway. And so I had to change my life and what I wanted to do. So I became an actress.
What? That's what you do in LA.
Yeah. You know, it was a good way for me to learn mm-hmm. The city.
Any major films
people.
That we've seen you in?
In like 5 years, you know, I did a lot of commercial work.
Oh.
Yeah.
Girl, get paid.
That was the goal. It was like, you know, I'm like, if I'm not, I wasn't aiming to be the next, you know, celebrity. I was really just enjoying the craft, and I liked getting paychecks.
Yeah.
I even did a lot of PSAs. Like, I was like, whatever. Like, I was just having fun, you know. At that time, I was divorcing as well. So I think it was something that I wanted to do to kind of like live vicariously through others at that time. And I was still in the museum field. But then, like, a couple of years later, I started a blog. And then that's how this whole craziness started. And I ended up in this world because I miss New York. I miss the art field so much that I was looking at other blogs like, oh, man, I wish I was at the Met. Oh, man, like, look at her at the Guggenheim. And
right.
Yeah.
Just like me every day.
Yeah.
Sure. I've never even been to the Guggenheim. Oh, I don't even know what that is.
I was missing it. Okay. And I worked for LACMA, and I was, you know, I was still part of the art scene, but I was just missing New York so much. And I don't know. That somehow inspired me to start a blog and say, well, why don't you get to really, really learn LA, go to art shows, write about them. Mm. And next thing you know, I met Anna on Twitter, who is the founder of We All Grow Latina Network, for those of you who don't know. And that's how this whole craziness started.
That's wow. Wonderful. We mm-hmm. did have Anna in one of our episodes. So if you guys haven't heard her episode, check it out, ladies. And so what we brought you in here, because you wanted to talk to a mom who had a young man, and tell us, just school us a little bit, because, you know, we're new moms and, you know, we talk about new mom stuff, and to have someone with a grown man at home living there. And
it really does feel like that. Like, it feels like you're with a grown man who doesn't have a job in the house.
Wow.
You know what I mean? You're like, do something. But that's what it feels like.
Do something.
I mean,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, it doesn't change.
This is like insight we're getting. Yeah. And we also want to touch a little bit about what you went through. I know you told us a little bit, but told us about your divorce and mm-hmm. how you navigated all of that. So thank you so much for coming in and being so open. So let's take a break right now, and we'll come back with Rachel's story of her grown man that lives in the house with no job and how she navigated her divorce.
Well, not like a crazy party frat house, but just like, you know, it's just messy. There's like pizza boxes and teenagers and stuff. And you're just like, oh, my gosh.
Socks.
Like, yeah, socks everywhere, dishes. That's.
Does he do his own laundry? Do you ever like catch something in his like sheets? You're like, God,
oh.
Do your own laundry, for God's sakes.
No, I don't catch anything in his sheets. Maybe food.
I'm just saying.
It's a frat house.
It's a boy.
It's a frat house, she said.
Oh.
Laundry. I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to be judged, but we have a lady that cleans.
Oh, okay.
And a lady that does.
Why is that just...
Why are you going to lady?
No,
lady.
No, but the lady also does his laundry. Because otherwise,
too.
My son right now, we're just like, just study and do your homework, please. just do your homework. Like that, I have to pick my battles with my son.
If like she, you have to with any man.
Yeah, exactly.
So Risa has a theory about men and the age.
Oh,
so tell her. And so she, if it's,
I have a theory that men stop growing at two ages.
Mm-hmm.
Either they stop growing at 9 or they stop growing at 16. And then that's it. That's all you get. And then they just grow like physically, but like emotionally they stay at 9 and 16.
That's a good theory, because I one thing that I've learned is I have learned a lot about men through raising my son, and I've had moments of I was doing that all wrong. Like, now,
like,
I
why
know.
Please
yeah.
share.
Like communication, mm-hmm. how you need to say things, how they're processing what you say. It's been a really interesting thing. And I do understand the whole 9 and 16 year old, because it just made
or
me 13 think of
it. And 16, actually. Did I say 13?
13.
You
sorry.
Don't want
13. That was the middle
but
school years
are
the
that's
rough
how men are.
Ones.
That, and I feel like that's when they like go into shock. Like their nervous system is such a shock because all the changes, and they go into school and it's mm-hmm. like, and they stay there and they get stuck there, and that's when they stop. And the ones that are able to get out of there is 16. That's when they have their second shock, and then they stop. Like my husband, for example, is Daniel LaRusso from The Karate Kid. So funny, because he told me how he's like, I've watched this movie so many times, and the more I look at that movie, I'm like, that's who you are.
You're Daniel LaRusso from The Karate Kid. And that's where you've stuck. 16-year-old kid.
Oh, gosh. Well, my son right now, he's 17, and he's very stubborn. So we'll see. I've been trying to work with him on that whole stubborn thing, because that is so embedded in his personality. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're going to have so many problems in the future if you keep on with this stubborn, you know, stuff. But that...
So no. Did you raise him on your own until...
No. I mean, he lives with me. I mean, I have, what do you call it?
Full custody?
The full custody, primary custody or whatever. He does have a relationship with his dad. They had an arrangement for every other weekend, and there were in between dinners and things like that. And they spoke on the phone, you know. And now my son's older, so they're having their own kind of way that they're handling their relationship now. But, you know, I can't say it feels like it was by myself because, I mean, you know, but he has.
Right. No, my question was more towards, like, you know, sometimes they say, like, raising a boy is difficult. And, like, so doing it on your own sometimes. I mean, raising two girls is difficult, you know. But I know that people say that raising a boy is a little bit tougher. So that's why I was asking you, like, did you do it on your own?
I didn't find it tough. I don't find it. Mm-mm. I think I would have. I think I'm better as a boy mom.
Really?
Than if I had girls.
I want a boy.
Because I'm such a worry wart, and I drive them crazy. I can't imagine if it were girls. We'd all be insane, like just going crazy, because I'm so worried constantly. Since he was little, like kids were already walking to school. I was like, no, like, yeah, I was really overprotective, and I still am. You know, he has a curfew that's earlier than most of his friends. I still want to know who's like when he's going to stay over somebody's house. Like, I want to still talk to the parents, you know, some of the,
as you should.
Yeah. So, but a lot of parents at this point, they don't do that anymore.
What?
Yeah.
My parents never let us sleep.
Yeah, and
sleep
I tell him that. I'm like, let me tell you, in Latino culture, there is no sleeping in anything. He's like, no. Mom, it's not like your life. It's different. And I'm not a girl. And this isn't New York City. So
no, this is LA.
Yeah. I'm like, nobody's out in the streets past 10 o'clock here. That's more dangerous for me. Like, I need to see people outside to feel safe.
It's true.
No, that is true. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, for us, you know, being girls, that were done differently with my brother, mm-hmm. you know. So that's why I'm like, with it, is it a little harder when it's, I mean, I don't know. I feel like with boys, people are like more, ¿cómo se dice? Más liberal. I don't know. Then with girls.
Oh, I wasn't. So, yeah. Like, he didn't have a smartphone or any of that stuff until he was, like, 14.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. no Instagram, none of that. Because I work in social media, and I see all the stuff, and I just felt like I'd rather him be, you know, not glued to the phone. You know, now he's glued to the phone. But I tried to prevent that for as long as I could. So, yeah, I was, you know...
That's great. I'm that mom. It sounds like you have a really good relationship with him. And I feel like a lot of the some of the emails or comments that we've gotten from parents of teenagers is like, you know, like how when they get to a teenage stage, having a relationship with their kids, it just becomes very difficult. Mm-hmm. So how do you keep a good relationship with your teenage men?
I think what happened was when I went through the divorce, it was a very difficult divorce.
How old was he? The baby?
Seven or eight. It was very difficult. And I was very human, to say the least. You know, if I had to cry, I cried. And if I had to talk things through, I talked things through. And, you know, I tried to be strong, but there were times that I wasn't strong. And I think, you know, I'm not going to lie, it caused a lot of confusion in him. But as he got older, he started to understand that a little bit more. And I think that has helped us become close, because there are times where I've had to talk to him and say, you know what, maybe I didn't behave properly, or maybe I should have done this, or, you know, learned from the way I did it or the way that I didn't do it. So I've always communicated with him. I never wanted to be that parent that, you know, felt like they, you know, their way was the only way, and that they did things the right way, and like that he didn't have any space to be able to have a candid conversation with me. So I think now that he's older, you know, we can look back at things and we can laugh at things. Or he can say to me, like, I'm not going to do this like the way you did it, or, you know, and I'm fine with that. And so I think that that's how I've treated that situation. And I think that that's been able to keep us communicating all the time and talking and joking and laughing and things like that. And just accepting sometimes things happen and, you know, yeah, life throws things at you and you're not always prepared for it, even if you're a parent, even if you're a mom. So I don't know. I think just kind of being vulnerable and just being myself.
Which is like a totally new thing to be as parent, because I feel like the previous generations were very... they would never share feelings with you as mm-hmm. as a child, right. You know, they would never even like admit that they were mistaken, you know. It was just like, this is my decision, this is what's gonna happen. And
I mean, how frustrating is it to talk to somebody and they can't admit when they messed up,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. it's just frustrating mm-hmm. in general.
You're right, you're so right.
Yeah. And I don't want my son to grow up like that either. I want him to be able to say, my bad, you know, I could have done better. So that's the relationship that we've had. I'm like, I'm your mom, I'm going through this journey of life too, like I have feelings, I have questions, I have things that I go through, and I love you to no end. And that's, you know, and the only thing really that happened was just that, you know, divorce is painful and it's hard to constantly wear this mask all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And what I did was, to protect him from that, I put him in a lot of activities. Sometimes, you know, you just want to go cry, you know. Right. Sometimes you have something to settle. And so I put him in activities because I wanted him to just have his childhood and just have fun with his friends and stuff like that. And if I needed to go, you know, call my mother because something upset me, then that was the time that I used for that, you know. So he did have a lot. He had a lot of his childhood involved in sports and music and dance and all kinds of things. And while I went through that stuff, but there were moments that, you know, I was just like peeled open. I was just like, blah, you know.
That's great. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that we've learned over this whole journey with the Super Mamas, is that the more you're open to your kids and, you know, you show them your human side, mm-hmm. the more that they're open with you, and it's like a mutual communication.
It will cause confusion though, because you're not supposed to be like that. Well, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they're mm-hmm. I think when he was in middle school, he didn't get it as much. Mm-hmm. Maybe because he is a boy and they have a boy brain, you know.
Boy brain, like, yeah. 13-year-old brain, you mean?
The what?
The 13-year-old boy brain.
Yeah, the 13-year-old boy brain wasn't gonna get that, but it does come around, you know. Now that he's older, he does get it, you know.
That everybody goes just, through. Yeah,
yeah. That's just something that, you know, we went through. He went through it. I went through it. It was a journey. So.
So one of the things one of the blog posts that we read through and we loved that you wrote on your site that made us want to have you right away was the 7 things to do with your teen son. Mm-hmm. And like my sister said, it's, we've heard plenty, like, how do I bond with them? So I want to go through them real quick because I think they were really like I was like, oh, okay. That sort of feels like what you can do with your boyfriend too. Right? If you think about it.
Well, that's the stuff that I've learned, you know. Yeah. Just keep it chill. Like,
look, number one, Netflix and chill, right? Play sports. Mm-hmm. Come on, mm-hmm. Catch a movie. That's like mm-hmm. me and my husband all the time. Play games,
like board games.
Yeah,
he's really into board games.
Have you tried Chinese checkers?
When he was younger. Ooh. Yeah,
we love. We're in this Chinese checker, like
volunteer, volunteer,
oh, volunteer.
Right, that's wonderful. Go for a drive, travel, make it a date night. Okay, that sounds like I'm making a boyfriend.
And because my son knows me so well, like, the date nights are funny. Like, he'll do it because he's like, oh, God, like, you know, I got to go with my mom. Like, she wants to go to this Pantages theater and do something fancy, you know. And like, but that, and that's where I feel like that sense of humor comes from, him just knowing me so well, knowing like all these different things about me, you know, that he knows, like, if I don't go with my mom, you know, he's gonna be all hurt. So you know, so we go, and I'm like, okay, we'll compromise, I'll get you a burger and fries, and you know, we'll see this thing or whatever. So I think it's really good for him, you know, to learn to
compromise. That's an odd thing to do with your,
you know,
boyfriend.
Hey, I don't like I don't, the only thing I don't compromise is watching football. I just can't stand football. Like, the sound of it makes me crazy, but I've thrown the ball with him and we've played outside and, you know, through his teen years.
Are you the cool mom that all of his friends are like, oh, let's go to your house because your mom's pretty cool?
They're probably like, I want to go check out your mom.
Oh my God. You have to understand how horrible I look when those kids come over. I work from home. So I have like a moño. One of them said to me, and I started laughing because he's like, you always look so comfortable. And I'm like, I'm in pajamas and a moño every time he comes over. So
I was that is not what you want to hear from any man, no matter what age the man is. You do not
want to have those. Like, okay. Thanks. But I don't
noted.
Know like, I don't know if I'm the cool mom. I'm kind of a pain in the butt because I'm still just like, where's everybody going? What are you doing? Does your mother know that you're here? And you know, I'm that person, but I do feed them.
Yeah. Oh, and at that age, they
like
can
any
eat.
Man.
Yeah, like we hear guys are coming over. My fiance will be like, "Let me make a pot of chili," or you know,
see like, what are we gonna feed? Like these any kids? Man,
exactly.
Yeah, you get to their stomach. That's it.
Yeah,
men are simple.
Exactly.
Here from a teen, is he? Raise a teenage boy, you know, that's it. Like, I've been doing shit wrong all my life.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't get it until now I'm doing it. And I'm like,
you're
you
like,
know.
You mean all I gotta do is throw a ball with you and feed you and then you'll be happy?
Really? Compromise a little here and there?
I think the compromise thing is big. Like, I hear, I don't know. Like, some of my friends who have teenagers and they get into these fights. My son and I don't fight. We really don't. We don't get into arguments. There's no doors slamming. I think one time he slammed the door and he was like 13, and it's because I didn't let him go to this one kid's house because I knew that like the parents weren't there and like, mm-hmm. you know, and he heard the door louder than I did because he was like, oh no, like, you know, that was not a good move. So I walked in and I was like, what just happened? And I think it's more like a shock because he's not, that's not his temperament. And right away he was like, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean, you know, to like slam the door. Yeah. Sorry, mom. I think that was probably the most. Other than that, I think like we do get into a lot of trying to get him to understand things.
A lot of talking.
There's a lot of talking. A lot with, like, of talking.
Like every other man.
A lot of talking. And what I find as I talk, how...
He doesn't listen?
No. how backwards I am sometimes in my thinking. How times have changed. And the things that I say are not relevant to today. So and I feel like an old lady. I'm making all these points and he's looking at me like, you know. And then I hear it coming out of my mouth and I just sound so outdated. So we have, so there are times where I'll come back and I'll be like, yeah, I don't think that's going to work, you know, and that's the stuff that I say about parenting where you have to, you know, admit like, okay, that worked for me. It's not going to really work for you. And
the chancla.
Yeah. We don't have the chancla. But he jokes and sometimes he'll be like, you know, my mom, she's, you know, Puerto Rican, like there's that chancla is always there.
And but you're like, I'll show you chancla, yeah. Kid.
Yeah, but there's a lot of talking.
Oh my God.
Does he always understand what I'm saying? No. When I hear him say to someone else what I said, I'm like, that is not what I said. And then we gotta talk again. And he's like, oh no.
That's so funny.
That is the worst. He misquotes me all the time. All the time. I get into so much trouble with people because of him. I do. I'm like,
because
I
they don't
say
listen.
That. Yeah, they don't listen.
Exactly. Men don't listen. Girls listen.
Yeah.
Girls listen. Girls understand. Men, they're 13-year-olds. Yeah. They don't listen.
There's not in his head.
And
like,
I'm so determined to like make it easier on this future wife that I have in my head that's going to have to sit down and talk to him. And I'm like, Mikey, no. This is not what I said. Yeah.
Oh, what a thoughtful suegra. She's like, I want to make it easy for the future wife.
And I'm the opposite. I'm like, I'll make it harder for her. I am not going to listen. I'm going to pretend like girls don't like to talk. So when he goes out there in the world, they'll be like, Mom, no one's like you. I know, son. You stay with me.
It was one Saturday. It was like 3 hours. Like
talking.
3 hours talking about... one about a girl. And all of my points were so old. Like, they were so dumb. Like, they made sense in my head. And as I was talking, I'm like...
Like what? I just want to know because I'm like... I'm like so curious now because maybe I'm like, damn, I need to upgrade by the new upgrade in my parenting software.
You know, they were like, the thing is it's not, they're not jumping into boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. Like, I need to slow my roll. Like, they're just talking, you know, they're not getting married.
You're like,
know?
Thinking like, and oh, like, my God.
The money being spent on dates, you know, yeah. And me helping him set expectations uh-huh. when he's talking to girls, because I'm not paying for these dates, you know. I'm like, you're gonna have to get a job, and also slow down. Like, you don't need to, you know, go to Hibachi and spend $80 on a date. Like,
what?
Yes,
at 17?
No.
I mean, if he's out there spending his own money.
No, it's my money.
Well, then, I'm not paying for no thirsty girl to and come around my house.
Okay, so see, that was my...
Excuse
that was
me.
That was my... That was me. All right? Okay. I'm like, you're like, now she's going to be expecting this. And like, within a week, they didn't even talk anymore. So I'm like, I need to just like step back because she might not even be around.
You're like,
for
take me to Hibachi.
Yeah. Exactly. So just, you know, and it turned into this thing because he's like, so are you saying, and then he's saying the not anything of what I was saying, and I'm like, okay, let me, and then I have to call my fiance in, and I'm like, can you give
translate,
him the man
translate
version
to
of
men.
He's saying? Like, let me give you that 10 yeah. second conversation and he'll get it and move on.
Exactly.
Oh my God,
that's why it takes so long. And then by then, like, nobody even knows we were talking about anymore. Like, whatever, we're exhausted.
But that's how you build communication. And it sounds like a fun relationship, though.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the fact that you are able to sit him down and him listen to you for 3 hours, I mean, that's
volume.
A huge win.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know of a lot of parents are like, I try to talk to my kid and he just turns around and leaves, or he yeah. doesn't talk back. Mm-hmm. So that conversation.
You see me raise my eyebrow, yeah. like, that ain't, no.
No, so I think that's a huge win. And everything yeah. you've said, like, I've learned so much. So mm-hmm. thank you. Let's take a break now. And when we come back, we'll come back with our Munchkin segment. It's little things. We'll be right back. Whether Munchkin segment, it's the little things, or whether it's the little things segment presented by Munchkin, because we all know that it's the little things that matter in life. So, Rachel, I know you told us so many things you've done with your kid to make a difference, but what is one little thing that makes a huge difference in your life?
Caring for myself makes a huge difference. Putting my health as a priority, because when I feel good, I'm able to, and it sounds cliche, but when you feel good, you're able to spread that on to others. There were times that I didn't think so much about myself, and if I wasn't feeling well, or, you know, whatever, it impacts everything.
Right.
So you have to just take care of yourself. So that's something that I've had to learn to do, especially as mothers, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't think of that, and it's so important. You think you're being selfish, but no.
No, not amen. At all. Mm-hmm. We cannot hear that enough in this show. I feel like we're a little bit too much about ourselves in this show. No. To the point that someone, my judge, is like, damn, this girl's just like, what time do they have with their kids?
Yeah. Well, that's good. Like, I wish I did that. Like, everything with me was like, you know, Mikey, 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 like my whole life. And
it is. I think it is. I think it is. Most of our life is about our kids. And if we talk about the things that we do and make them so big, it's because we get excited about doing something for ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, every mom is just everything about your kids. Like, you know, I'm worried about when I'm going to cut their hair, and then I'm like, I haven't cut my own hair in like, I don't know how long. Or, you know, like, every time you go to the clothing stores, and I was like, oh, look, that's good for the baby and good for... And then I look at my closet, I'm like, damn, when was the last time I got something for me? So,
and it's those little things that boost your mood, and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. they yeah. don't seem like a lot. It seems like you're being selfish, but it is a huge mood booster, and you need those.
Yeah, we really, really need those. Mm-hmm.
For more information on Munchkin products, ladies, please visit munchkin.com, because it's the little things that matter in life. We'll be right back. And we're back. I am so glad that, I mean, thank you so much for coming here. It was so much fun.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. Now I cannot wait for my son to turn 17. I came in with this interview with fear, and now I'm like, all right, I'm ready.
Just remember, it's kind of like when you're flying over Arizona, New Mexico, it's always bumpy. Middle school is going to be that. Middle school is not fun. So just remember, it'll get better.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
With any teenager, right?
Yeah. I think the middle school, they just go cuckoo.
I mean, my middle school years were the worst years of my life.
Yes.
And
yes,
I still remember them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I think that because they're so difficult on them that they take it out on us as parents.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just like they're starting to become more independent, mm-hmm. and they're just, I don't know what happens, and especially with boys, they just get so goofy, like just goofy.
13-year-olds.
Yeah, the 13-year-old.
See what I'm saying? Okay, let's get to our Supermom pick or tip of the week. Rachel?
Calm app.
Calm app.
Because I don't have a little one anymore. So, and like I said, you know, you got to do something for yourself. And it's like, I have to put it on every day just to breathe and meditate and center myself because of work. And then when he gets home, he doesn't need me to take care of him, but the homework situation, if any of you have teenagers, you know that's its own thing. And just the everyday stuff, that's where you have to just sit back and have that moment to yourself. So I rely on my Calm. It's called Calm.
Yeah,
that's what it's called. And it's meditation, and it has like different, you can do 5 minutes, you can do 30 minutes. And
are they guided meditation?
Mm-hmm, it's guided. Oh. I need guided.
Oh, yeah. I always wanted to do meditation before, and like I had no idea how to do it, right? I would just sit down and close my eyes and be like, when is this hitting me? Like, yeah. When am I supposed to feel calm? And then we went through guided meditation, and mm-hmm. after that, I know my 1, 2, 3, so what to do in my meditation, and it's amazing.
Well, it's guided, and I like the lady's voice. She has a nice voice, and they also have, you know, just like raindrop sounds, wind, water, things like that. Mm-hmm. So if you have trouble going to sleep and stuff like that. So nice, I rely on that.
I'm going to check that out.
Paulina?
We're looking at each other. So I actually found this pick through you one time.
What?
Yeah, you sent me a picture. You sent me a picture from your phone. And then at the bottom, you were actually listening to a podcast, and it showed up in the picture that you sent me. And then I was like, huh, what is this? So I went, and it's called How I Built This.
Oh, that's the best.
Yes. It's like a recent podcast.
I know you're looking through my picture, like in the corner, like, being nosy up in
it
your picture.
It was like right at the bottom.
What
whatever.
Is she listening to?
No. Jeez, and then at the bottom it said Melissa and Doug. Like Melissa and Doug.
Yeah,
and it's because I was like, what is this, Melissa and Doug? And you know, it's the toys. And then so How I Build This, it's interviews with very successful people that started from nowhere and they built, like, for example, I heard the one with what's her name? Blakely? Blakely, the girl from Spanx.
From Spanx.
Mm-hmm.
Her first episode.
I think it was the first. Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, and her story and how she started Spanx. And it was amazing. And the second episode was about the two guys that started Instagram and how they started. And it was just very inspiring stories. There's like the people that started Zumba. Mm-hmm. There's stories of, like, you know, all these people that created everything out of nothing and how they did it, and it's just very, very cool for everybody that needs some inspiration.
And it's only 30 minutes.
It's only 30 minutes, and they're very interesting, and you guys should check it out. It's called How I Built This. It's the new episode by NPR.
I love it. My pick this week, actually no, my pick's gonna be a movie, and I think I've mentioned this movie before, but I don't think I've ever made it a pick. It's already out to rent, like on iTunes or Amazon, wherever you, streaming service you use, or DVD if you still use that, Blu-ray, whatever.
You can disc after that.
To Netflix and chill with your son. Kubo and the Two Strings. I've talked about this movie before.
I think you already made a pick before.
I have?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm recycling it. And there's nothing you can do about it. Because I love it so much. So, have you watched Kubo and the Two Strings? Mm-mm. See?
He's 17. He doesn't watch cartoons.
Oh, So
he does.
He does.
Yeah,
they're 13. So here's the thing. That movie, I think it's the best movie of 2016. Mm. Like, not like just animation, just I think it's so good. And my husband and I have had this conversation about like movies from last year, and my husband loves movies, so we have like deep conversation about who's gonna win the Oscars and the movie nominations. And he's like, I can't believe Kubo is nominated for like a real award, like not just animated movie. And he'll probably lose his Zootopia too, which it sucks because Kubo is just such a beautiful, incredible film, and it's about culture and memories and your like heritage and just like being it's so beautiful, and it's all stop motion. So if you like get the movie, whatever, look at the extras, and then you see how they made it and how they took 5 years because it's all stop motion, and how they built all the sets, and they and how they went in detail into all the costume and made sure that all the fabric came from Japan. Like, it's just like I fell in love with the movie all over again.
Wow.
My baby now, when he wakes up, the first thing he says is Kubo. I'm like, let's go. I want to watch Kubo. And the voices are Charlize Theron and Matthew McConaughey.
Oh.
So anyway, that's my tip. Netflix and chill with your son and watch Kubo the Two Strings. And it's about him and his mom too, how he took care of his mom in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful.
Oh, I love it. That's so cute. I'm going to check it out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, Rachel.
Thank you.
Where can we find you? Where? Well, your beautiful website, theartmuse.me, but Instagram, where else?
I was fortunate enough to get The Art Muse on everything back in the day. So if you look up The Art Muse
anywhere,
there. And also We All Grow Latina Network. As well,
right? And for even like some just like visual inspiration, I love it. I mean, you look beautiful in every picture. Really nice.
I know.
My fiance knows my angles.
I know, but I'm like,
because I don't have anybody else take my pictures. I'm like, nope.
Does your son take pictures of you?
He used to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he used to.
So when you said like his friends are like, you know, you wear pajamas and a moño, actually
they don't know this person. They don't know The Art Muse.
Looking at your website, I'm like, shut up.
They don't know who that is.
Look at this one. Look at your profile pic. I know. Hey. Like,
damn. They don't know
sexy.
Her.
Sexy
they
don't mama. Know her.
No.
Is that your nickname, The Art Muse? Is that like your alter ego that you jump into when
with your fiance?
Your fiance?
Yeah, I kind of see it that way. You know, who wants to see pictures of moños and pajamas and like
it's beautiful.
Yeah. Real life?
Right? Like, you know, when you work at home and you work in front of a computer, it's not glamorous at all. And like when I'm off the computer, I want to get dressed up and I want to go out and have fun taking pictures. And so that's who that is.
Well,
so
I love your feed. I love your site. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And don't forget to follow us and find us on @_supermamas on Instagram and Twitter, Supermamas Podcast on Facebook, and supermamaspodcast.com. Check our show notes. There's always everything related to the episode on the show notes, links, all the good stuff. Check out our blog. We have a new section with a blog that is a little follow-up on every episode. So, you know, little extras here and there. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Leave us a review, guys. And share this episode with somebody you love or don't love.
Oh, and also don't forget to get tickets to the Supermas Social.
It's coming up, guys.
On May 13th. I'm just looking at my calendar. I'm like, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. In 4 months. We're so excited. We're going to have, oh my gosh, so many wonderful speakers and activations and activities for the kids. So bring your whole family, buy a ticket for your cousin, your prima, your tia, your mom. Just come. It's going to be
bring the husband too.
An incredible, and we're going to celebrate Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
That weekend. So May 13th, your tickets.
All right. So, I think that's it.
Can we get a big super mass for you,
Rachel? Super mass!
Super mass!
Bye.
Bye.